Well, we have some interesting sounding and some interesting looking instruments for you to hear. Not to see, but we'll describe them to you as best we can coming up. This is a group I haven't had a chance to hear before, but I'm really thrilled that they're here, especially based on their description. Rich Ermlich and Tom Moran blend east and west, so to speak, or west and east, with rock and R&B infused styles. Almost sounds like a restaurant menu, right? Atop West and North Africa, Central Asia, India, and Middle Eastern rhythms. We'll learn more about what makes them tick as the hour goes on. But please join me in welcoming the very eclectic sounds of Sons of Salome. Thank you. Sons of Salome at the Saturday Light Brigade. That was interesting to listen to. And I'm going to turn to Tom first just to ask you first about the instrument that you're playing and that you just played.
This is an electric.
Hang on 1 second, because it would help if we had your microphone available. Let's try that again.
Okay. I'm playing an electric oud. I keep forgetting. I hold it up to show it.
So this is an oud, O-U-D.
Right, O-U-D. It's a Middle Eastern instrument, the great-grandfather of the great-grandfather, great-grandmother of the guitar.
Mm-hmm. It kind of looks like a bouzouki.
Well, the one I'm playing here is actually an electric one of my own design.
Mm-hmm.
I've built very traditional Arabic style ouds with the bowl back, but I found that the weather in Pittsburgh sort of interferes with it. It's like the instrument for the desert.
It's not nearly as dry.
Not for June in Pittsburgh. So I built this electric one to be impervious to weather anywhere on the planet.
What is the top made out of? It looks
this
like formica,
actually,
but it's
this is actually drum wrap.
Oh,
laminated
okay.
onto masonite. It's the stuff that they put on drum shells.
Uh-huh. Okay, like a mother of pearl finish.
Yeah, as they call it, say in the industry, mother of toilet seat.
I'll now know that.
That's but MOTS if you're looking in guitar parlance. That's if you see MOTS, that's what it means.
So how long, what are the origins of the oud? Do they
the
go back?
The oud goes back to about, they actually have Sumerian wall carvings dating up about 3000 BC of an instrument very similar to the oud called the barbat.
So it's very,
we're talking pre-pyramids.
Wow. So, and you know, to help you visualize it, there are 10 strings, five pairs.
11? 11. It's like Spinal Tap. It goes to 11.
Oh, you're right. Of course, you're right. But it's funny that sixth or that 11th string was blocked in my view. So there's 11 strings, and it looks like there's one by itself and then five pairs of two.
The lowest string is generally the drone.
And it actually is. Forgive me, but you already made the reference when talking about the finish, but the body is about the size of a toilet seat, not too different from the shape either. It's sort of an ovular shaped body, almost like an overgrown mandolin, and what a neat sound.
Thank you.
How did you discover this instrument? When did you start playing it?
I started playing, I'm a luthier, so I build guitars, banjos, mandolins, etc. And I thought, those ouds, I bet I could build one of those things. So I did a little research on it, and I can do this. So it actually took me about a year. I'm about one of about five active oud makers on this side of the planet. So I made a lot of friends on the other side of the world who were kind enough to help me through this whole process. And it took me about a year to build the first acoustic one. Then I realized, oh no, now I have to learn how to play it. So I started studying the Arabic music system called the Maqamat.
Is that a different system of music
very,
notation?
Very, very, very different.
Interesting.
Than Western musical system.
I remember hearing that before, now that I think about it, but it's been a long time since I've thought.
The closest thing to Western music is the Greek modal system.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to that with some influence from coming up from India, and it was sort of held safe in Asia Minor while the rest of Europe was trying to get its act together after the Roman Empire.
Wow.
Well, it's a very old instrument.
Well, Tom Moran was playing that instrument, and you sounded great playing
the
oud. And let's turn back to Rich Ermlich. And Rich, you were playing a frame drum of your own making?
I did not make the frame drum, though.
Ah, okay.
I don't quite have that much gusto. I just buy them and play them.
Okay. I thought you were actually making some, but...
I have reheaded them, and I've repaired them, but not from scratch.
Neat. And just to give folks sort of some perspective, this is a drum that maybe is a... Do you know the exact diameter? I'm guessing about a yard.
This is 30 inches wide, this drum. And typically, they're not this big, but I like to overdo things. It's more fun that way. And generically, for a visual, if you imagine a wooden hoop, kind of like mine's about as big as a small hula hoop, usually they're a lot smaller, maybe 16 inches in diameter or something, like a large frisbee, but it's just a hoop with a piece of skin stretched over it. And depending on where you go in the world, if you're in the Native American, they would call it a buffalo drum or a shaman drum or a medicine drum. If you go to Ireland, they would call it a baldron, and they would hit it with a tipper and get a really cool sound out of it. If you take it to the Middle East, you could call it a tar or a daf, or in Azerbaijani, they would call it a gavel drum. But the basic idea is the same. It's just a piece of skin stretched over a hoop.
It's amazing the range of sounds that come from it, too. Can you play just for a second, I guess, some of the deeper and then some of the more staccato? Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, a lot of people just assume that they see the simplest, it's the simplest drum there is. I mean, it's just the head, that's all it is. And you assume you whack it with a mallet, you get a sound out of it, and that's cool. And you can use it that way, and it sounds pretty good that way. But it's actually the larger drums like this, meant to be played finger style, in my opinion, and they're just very intimate instruments, perfect for the slow, slinky, sexy stuff we were just playing now.
Yeah, as you were hearing that last song, you might have thought that Tom was playing, I'm going to keep doing that, Rich was playing a range of drums, but it was just one drum that he was playing on that particular song. Let's get to another piece of music. What would you like to play next?
We'll start off. I'll do a, in Arabic music, what's called a taksim, which is basically an improvisation on a maqam, which is sort of like one of our modes. I'll do something in maqam hijaz, which would be basically an improv, then we'll, as a solo, and then Rich will sort of take over and then do a solo on the frame drum. Or if you want to do the frame drum or the...
I use them all at the same time.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna start off with an improv, a taksim on maqam hijaz. Thank you.
nicely done. And there, not to take away from Tom, but you hear these scratching noises Rich is making with the drum, as well as that drone of the rubbing of it, is really kind of neat as you're playing the frame drum. I guess I've never really seen a frame drum that big before or heard one, so that's it's really pretty cool. And you had a djembe there, right?
Yes, I was just kind of rapping on it. I got
a
little feisty. I also will be playing a djembe and a dumbek or darbuka today.
One thing I neglected to mention with the oud that Tom is playing is it is fretless, and that's standard, I guess.
Yes.
I had a chance to really watch you play that more as I was listening, and that had to take a while to learn how to play. Or...
Actually, I had my first oud about three quarters done when it dawned on me that I would have to learn how to play Arabic music,
right,
with all the quarter tones and half flats and everything. I was like, oh, no. I said, I know. I'll tune my fretless banjo to an oud tuning. And I learned my basic Mahkams on a fretless banjo.
There you go.
So therefore, and I play a lot of slide guitar, so the concept wasn't...
I thought you were going to tell me there was a Mel Bay book for oud.
There is.
Is there really?
Yes, there is. Marina Tosic from, she's from Serbia, and she's one of the best oud players on the planet. And she wrote the book, and it's Mel Bay, and get it if you want to learn how to play.
That's incredible.
There's a plug for Marina.
That's incredible. I guess
Mel
there's
Bay
a Mel
for everything.
Yeah, Mel Bay, prolific.
Yes.
I want to be sure we have time for music. This hour is really going to fly by. It's 21 before noon. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. Sons of Salome are performing. You if you want to see these instruments for real, you can go to Club Cafe, I think, a week from tonight.
Yes, on the 11th.
Yes, Saturday night.
Saturday night, the 11th. It's the early show.
Doors open at 6, shows at 7 o'clock.
And they're over on the south side, so you can get a chance to actually see these instruments and hear both Tom Moran and Rich Ermlich perform. Do you guys play in other groups as well? Or is this your primary musical focus right now?
We're both all over the place.
Yeah, I figure. I mean, I would think you're both pretty accomplished across other genres as well.
But this is a lot of fun. You know, we get to go out, and a lot of times we're playing for dancers in a live set, and we don't know what's going to happen, and they don't know what's going to happen. So the creative tension's really high, and everybody gets to really zone in and pay attention a lot more than you do if you have like a typical set and everybody's just playing their parts along and it's kind of ho-hum evening. So it's really really a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm sure you get to react.
We've played everything from private parties to club dates to we even played a high school prom once.
Yeah, that was fun.
Do you remember the high school?
It was Sewickley, whatever school district.
Quaker Valley.
Yes.
Interesting. Well, I could see, you know,
we
belly dances.
Amalie and Prince too.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So who knew? Who knew there were actually.
Speaking of Amalie, we can maybe next thing we can do is
Sagolo,
which is we're gonna improv on a. On a tune by Malian guitar player Boubacar Traore, and this is in a pentatonic Mahkam. So there's your sort of connection between West Africa and into North Africa, and the whole thing just follows across the other half of the world there if you follow the trade routes. But this is in a pentatonic Mahkam. And Rich is going to play the djembe on this one. You ready?
Sons of Salome. And have you had a chance at all, Tom, to travel internationally to play with other folks?
No. I actually keep an eye on the State Department's no-go list. Everywhere I want to go, it's like, I don't think it's a really good time to go to Mali. But I don't know, I've been to Canada.
As a tourist, yes.
Yeah, I was wondering where some of these instruments are more popular. But yes, I think about it. You're right. You're
that's
in
on
a
the horizon.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing about us is we definitely, although we respect traditions from other cultures that we're borrowing from, you know, there's no way that I'm going to get around that, you know, I grew up in suburbia with strip malls listening to Stones and Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. And that's going to come into what we do.
Of course.
You know, with both of us. So we make no claim to any kind of cultural authenticity, which the next song, we can do a little bit of Camel Spiders from Mars, which will prove that point. Which is more influenced by surf rock, which incidentally was influenced by traditional Arabic music when Dick Dale basically invented. Dick Dale's real name was Richard Mansour, and he played belly dance music as a kid, and that's where you get Miserlou, which is the first song we did. Most people think, "Oh, the Pulp Fiction song."
Yeah, no, you definitely did. It's funny. In that first song, I did hear some surf rock.
Yeah, I turn the reverb up.
Yeah,
and play it really fast.
If you're just joining us, this is Sons of Salome.
Rich has switched over to the dumbek now.
Yes, what I had before was the djembe, which is an African healing drum from West Africa, the Ivory Coast, and it had a completely different set of techniques that they use it for. A lot of times you'll see them, if you see the drum circles happening, most of those guys have djembes. Wonderful drum, easy to learn. If you like rhythm at all, pick up a djembe. It's about as hard to play as your steering wheel. Great fun. So I'm going to have a dumbek, and for those of you who need a visual, I'm just sitting with it on my lap sideways. One hand is going to be playing the basic beat, and the other hand is going to be throwing little ornaments and fills in, kind of like left and right hand of a piano player, if you will. One hand's going to hold it down, the other hand's going to have fun.
Here again, Sons of Salome. Thank you. That was a lot of fun. Sons of Salome at the Saturday Light Brigade.
One of the things we like to do is, if we're doing a belly dance show, throw in something like I Want Candy or something. Yeah. People will be dancing, and they'll say, sort of stop. And then we get to watch the light bulb go off, and everybody starts singing, I want candy.
that's
a lot of fun to do. So, yeah, we're not, again, we're not claiming any kind of tradition here except the one we're making up as we go along.
Well, we definitely start out and learn the traditions properly, and we use that as a stepping stool, but we're not going to be sticking to it. It's just, I don't know, we haven't noticed. We start out playing like a really hardcore like belly dance music and wind up in a Led Zeppelin riff.
I
see Rich was ready to jump in on that.
He gets me fired up with that.
Sons of Salome, do you guys, I should have checked. I'm sure you've got a website.
We're sort of using either one of our. My website is www.oudery, that's OUDERY.com, and Rich has his own site.
Yeah, it's just my name, richermlich.com. Not a whole lot up there right now. You can find me on Facebook or the website. I'm updating it.
Is there a book if people wanted to learn more about the oud, I guess your oudery website might help, but is there a book or a resource?
Actually, the best thing to do is there's an international oud group online, mikesouds.com. And that's sort of a, everyone from around the world who plays ouds, that's pretty much the central site. Everyone leaves their politics at the door, and everybody gets along, and everyone's very, very helpful, especially to someone like myself who comes in and says, knows nothing about it. And they're sort of like a little bit, what's this guy's deal? You know, but once they find you're sincere, it's like, come on in, welcome in. That's the best. Cool. Or arabicmaqam.com if you want to learn actually about the techniques of Arabic music. Very helpful.
And how do you spell that? It's Arabic and then
Maqam.
Maqam. And that's the notation or scale?
Yes, the sort of similar to modes. Not all maqams have 8 notes. They're not all octaves. Some only have 5. Sometimes they don't resolve on an octave. So there's about, there's thousands of theoretical ones, maybe about 50 in general use, maybe about 20 in common use.
Wow. That's a lot to think about.
Yeah.
Do you ever have trouble going back and forth between Arabic modes and Western modes?
Not too much. Currently, and it's very interesting, Rich and I both have recently taken up the sitar independent of each other. So now we're also trying to learn Indian music, which is even adds this other whole craziness to it. So,
yeah, that's fun.
We sort of, I don't know. We've both been playing for like such a long time. I think we can sort of.
You can figure it out.
But anyone who wants to investigate it, I highly suggest checking this stuff out.
Oh, definitely.
Well, it's been great, Todd, to have you here. I think we have time for one. We do have time for one more. I wish we had time for.
Switch to the electric sitar real quick. See, I brought it. We can do
you do that shift the telly tune?
Yeah.
So you're going to, this is an electric sitar?
It's an electric sitar.
Huh.
What's great about these different world cultures is they actually think about music differently.
Mm-hmm.
And once you apply that, once you get to the point where you can think that way, at least somewhat, you come back to your own art and your own native music, and it opens it up a great deal.
Wow.
And then when you apply technology like Tom's going to do now, it opens it up a lot more. Shift to tally done.
Yep.
Sons of Salome, and thank you to both of you guys.
Oh, thank you for both, having us.
Tom and Rich, that went by way too quickly. I hope we'll get a chance to do it again.
That'd be great. Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And look for Tom Moran's website, which you can find simply at oudery.com, oudery.com. And if you Google Rich Ermlich or simply go to richermlich.com, you'll be able to learn more about him. That's E-H-R-M-L-I-K. Thanks to all of our guests today.